We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I do mean this one. I'm talking about this one, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, text lines. By the way, we've got a brand spanking new texter, James from Bucksville. James, we're glad you're in there. He says Chuck Woolery was the best host. Okay, Chuck Woolery fan. And he says, Chuck Woolery, that's his vote. All right, I like Chuck Woolery, good dude. I still think nobody can beat Pat Sajak. Francisco from Huntsville says, Phil, there has to be money involved as to why the feds are busing migrants here. Nothing is ever unannounced. If not, why not send them to sanctuary states? I blame the government of Alabama for sitting on their thumbs. I don't know that that's the case, Francisco, because what we're finding out right now is the government of Alabama has been just as surprised as others. You can't sit in the governor's mansion in Montgomery and be aware that a bus pulled up in Sylacauga. But when you do find out after the fact, you start taking action. What we do understand right now is that the Attorney General's office is looking into it. That's all I know. Jim from Grove Oak. Hey, Colonel, did your meatloaf dinner include collard greens? It did not include collard greens. Collard greens were not meant to be eaten. That's the disposable part. You just rip that off and you throw that away. That was never meant to be eaten.
You don't eat your collard greens?
I don't need no collard greens.
Oh, come
collard
on,
greens. That's did you eat the leaf off the top of the carrot? No, you eat the carrot. That's what I'm saying. Eat the banana peel? No, you eat the banana on the inside.
You can eat the banana peel.
Stop it. Just stop right now. John from Pike Road says, I just heard you talk about the Haitian migrants in Albertville. Just think how many cots they could put in the old Goodyear building. They'd have a place to shower and several fast food restaurants within walking distance. Don't start, John. Don't start. Last couple, Dave from Rimlap says, Trump will mop the floor with her tonight. I guess he means Harris. Yep. So pay attention. The fake media will immediately lie like a rug. Be ready to correct. Don't take that magic carpet ride. Yeah, I'm planning on live tweeting, by the way. If you're on Twitter and you want to get my reactions in real time, I'll be tweeting during the debate tonight, starting at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. You can go to @SenPhilWilliams, S-E-N Phil Williams, and follow me. I usually put a bunch of GIFs and memes into it, too, just for fun. And John from Huntsville says, Phil, I love collard greens. You just lost 5 points. Well, you know what, brother? I'll take that. Add some pecan pie to you. How do you feel about that? Ken from Renlap wants me to know, too, that Pat's daughter took over Vanna White's role on the show. What? Really? I did not know this. And John from Huntsville did add, Vanna is still turning letters. But now I'm confused. I do not know. All right, let's do the topic. I didn't come in here to talk about Wheel of Fortune and collard greens. What's wrong with you people? We got business here. Dipper number one, debate prep. Just so you know, going into the debate, as of last night, we suddenly have policy positions. I don't want to say it's because they heard me talking about no Biden or Harris doctrine on Right Side Radio, but all I do know is this. We talked about the fact that Harris's policies and doctrines are absolutely ambiguous, that there's been nothing on her website the entire 50 days she's been running as the presidential candidate, even though she was a vice presidential candidate in an active and ongoing campaign for a year and a half prior to that. She never bothered to cut and paste the position points over to her own website. And yet I hold in my hot little hands proof that apparently she has, just last night, issued her policies on her campaign website. Well, now, got them in there just under the wire. You look at this and go, these are not serious people. She's, and you know what galls me, though, too? It's still a close race. I mean, you've got a cartoon running for president right now who literally did not even have any stated policy positions until last night. And the election is just weeks away. Okay. Her policies, by the way, are divided into four sections. Kamala Harris's policies are divided into the build an opportunity economy and lower costs for families, number one. Number two, safeguard our fundamental freedoms. Number three, ensure safety and justice for all. And number four, keep America safe, secure, and prosperous. Okay. I think that's really like eight, but she combined them into four. But yeah, no policies for weeks. Now all of a sudden it does. She's offering right now to say she's going to cut middle class taxes. Anybody earning less than $400,000 a year will not pay more in taxes. Okay, is that the same as cutting taxes? Or just saying you're not going to raise taxes? Either way. Suddenly she's a Republican, right? The website promises that Harris and Waltz will ensure the wealthiest Americans and the largest corporations pay their fair share. What is a fair share, by the way? Well, I don't know, but it's got to be more. Okay. So I'm not in that bracket, but I'm pretty sure those are the ones who create the jobs. Just saying. Well, Phil, they know how to offshore their money. Can we see your bank account? Where's your portfolio? I'd like to know how Nancy Pelosi is taxed. Can we please? Is Bernie Sanders, who's now a multimillionaire, even though he's a socialist, does he like pay his fair share? Well, Phil, that's a different story, is it? They're going to roll back Trump's tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. That'll work. By enacting a billionaire tax. Wow. The website also plans to give more than 100 million working and middle-class families a tax cut by restoring the child tax credit. I would also point out, by the way, the child tax credit expired on her watch. Just so we keep the record clear. What else we got in here? Her website now says there's a policy section focused on attacking her opponent under each policy section. So in every one of her, here's what I'm going to do, she also has her, here's why I'm attacking Trump on the same issue. Never mind that some of these policies are really his. One pundit, Carolyn Levitt, who works as the Trump campaign's national press secretary, said, Kamala Harris added a late-night wish list of policies to her website to solve the problems that she helped create over the past 4 years. If she really wanted to lower costs and secure the border, why'd she cast a tie-breaking vote to cause inflation and support the war on the energy industry, and why is she allowing an invasion of illegal immigrants on our southern border? Great question. We'll see how she handles it. But I will say this. It's going to be interesting to watch. And I'll go ahead and hazard this, that right now I think there's more riding on it for Kamala than there is on for the Donald. Trump has continued to maintain and hold his momentum. And he's not growing anymore, but she has had an unfettered love fest from the media. She has the most recent, DNC was the most recent conference, the convention. You usually get a bump from the convention. And she's not getting the bumps they thought she would. In fact, she's not pulling away. They really thought she would pull away. Once they got rid of Joe, they really thought she would pull away, and it hasn't happened yet. And the reason is because people are starting to see through the veneer. And so they gave her everything she needed. Don't make her do an interview. Yeah, that's bad. If she does, okay, we'll do one. Who are we going to do it with? Do it with CNN. They're friendly. Okay. And let's make sure it's pre-recorded and edited, and it only lasts 17 minutes. That's great. That's a good idea. I like that. That's what they do. No hard questions. Well, now she's going in tonight, and people are wondering how she's going to do, because you've seen how she does when she gives speeches or when she's trying to impress, when she's nervous. She comes across like a snarky kindergarten teacher trying to tell the class it's time to sit down and listen. So, story here on Fox came out 2 days ago, talking about the debate for tonight. Katie Pavlich says the Trump campaign actually offered her three debates out of respect for the American people and the voters. Three debates. We've always had three debates, right? She says. So this format that we're going to see on Tuesday night, plus one would be a town hall debate and another one focused on foreign policy. That's what they do. Harris was offered a Fox News debate, but she wouldn't take that because Bret Baier and Martha McCallum would ask too many hard, germane questions, and she wants no part of that. That's Katie. I agree with her, though. That's exactly what's happening. But then you look at it too. Okay, she's going to go in tonight. Is she going to be ready? Well, she's been prepping. Oh, she's been prepping like a mug. I mean, she is literally holed up in a hotel in Pennsylvania with somebody who is standing in, acting the part of Trump. And I get it. Good for her. Always practice. Good. Go for it. 5 days of practice. I would remind you all that Joe Biden had 7 days of practice. Didn't work out. Says Trump, and here's the rules, though. You ready? The mics for one candidate will be live at a time as they answer questions. The other microphone remains muted until it's their turn to speak. Okay. The Trump and Harris will both have 2 minutes to answer each question, followed by another 2 minutes for rebuttal and an additional minute for a follow-up or clarification as needed. Neither contender will be allowed to bring any pre-written notes to the stage. There will be no opening statements, and closing statements from each participant will be limited to 2 minutes. So it's pretty tight. Now, Team Harris is actually pushing back on this now. Another story on Fox says Team Harris had actually planned on having unmuted mics, and they were left scrambling to rewrite their debate strategy. Well, okay, here's the bottom line, though. These terms were negotiated before she got in the race. They've been out there for a long time. She came on board with what had been negotiated for Biden to protect Biden, and now she wants to know if she can change the rules. Kamala Harris had planned to object and fact-check and directly question Donald Trump while he was speaking during the debate, said Politico. Let me rephrase that for you. She wanted to interrupt and insult constantly. She wanted the ability to say, I'm speaking here, excuse me, or say something snarky while he's trying to... She's not going to have that luxury now. So now with the rules just finalized to mute the candidates when their opponents speak, campaign officials said Harris advisors are having to scramble to rewrite their playbook. So what this basically tells me, this story, by the way, came out yesterday. What this tells me is even up until yesterday, they were trying to get the rules where they wanted them for tonight's debate. I mean, come on. Are you that unorganized? Are you that desperate? Are you that incapable of just holding your own? You want to be president of the United States. 4 of her own campaign officials are now openly stating that she feels handcuffed. Handcuffed. She feels handcuffed. It's the rules that were set by Biden's camp. If you remember, Trump was like, I'll do whatever. But now the rules are in. They're already locked in. And Trump's like, I'm not changing the rules. Stick with it. Make her work. One of the campaign officials for Harris said it was a bad set of rules for Biden, who needed to be protected, who never should have been on the debate stage, and now they're stuck with it. Oh, now. All right, listen, we'll come back from this break, and I'll tell you, one of the things or a couple of things that she's doing to prepare, and for that matter, what Trump's doing to get ready. And then what did Trump say that Mike Tyson said that might apply? I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just serving up some red meat for the souls, what I like to say. Mike from Huntsville. Oh, boy. Mike. Says, jumping Jehoshaphat, Phil. You guys lying about migrants eating cats and ducks and Trump saying you can kill a child after birth. What's wrong with you people? Have you no shame? Mike, did you miss? Okay, Mike, first of all, the fact that you're still listening to the show gives me hope for you. I know that you are out there. There's a piece of you that wants to be a part of this. So just keep hanging with us, Mike. The education is far from complete. But yeah, apparently, Mike, you've missed the actual body cam footage of the police arriving at the house and the woman's eating the cat in the driveway. And they're actually saying, did you eat the cat? You know, and then the pictures of the people speaking at town hall saying they're down there at the park killing geese and ducks and then cooking them. And then the one guy walking out of the park toting a duck like he's got a sack full of crystals. I mean, listen, it's happening, man. I don't know why you find that hard to believe, because it just is. And those were not AI images. They were real. Handyman from Caddo says, I guess next you'll tell us don't eat possum. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say the days of eating possum are kind of behind us. But you know what? If you want some possum, you go right ahead. Chris from Gadsden said, I'll be feeling like this if I watch Kamala answer anything during the debate. And he has a picture of the Billy Madison gif. Says, everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. Yeah. John from Lexington, South Carolina says, how many of these locations with the disproportionate migrants, Phil, vote Republican? Is this nothing more than a means to change voting patterns long term? I don't know, man. I don't know. All I know is this. There is a reset going on, and they're just bringing them in by the plane load. The new parole program that that was reinstituted last week by the Biden-Harris administration allows them to bring up to 30,000 a month by plane from Nicaragua, Venezuela, Cuba, and Haiti. And they are. And then Pam from Athens, we think the Alabama government should have been proactive in being prepared for when illegals would be bussed in, because we all knew they would be at some point in time. Well, okay, so Pam, tell me what that means. What is the being proactive thing about? Because we actually have some pretty good laws. We have some identity laws. We also have a number of other protective measures. And then we do support local law enforcement pretty well. And I'm not criticizing Pam, but I'm saying if there's something you think that was not being done specifically, tell me what that is. John from Huntsville just says, if Mike from Huntsville wants to join my right side ruffian football pick'em group, he's more than welcome. See?
That's what I'm laughing about over here.
See, Mike, you are this is where, like in my family, we would look at you and go, we just love you in spite of yourself. There you go. All right, last couple of things before we get to the top of the hour. Don't forget, by the way, Todd Stacy calling in. Todd Stacy from Alabama Daily News actually spent a lot of time in both D.C. and in Montgomery. He's got an eye on politics, and we'll get his thoughts on what's going to happen with the debate tonight. But here's a piece from the AP that came out yesterday, I believe. Harris and Trump are getting ready for Tuesday's debate in sharply different ways. This is the AP writing it. This is not like a, you know, this is not just a right-wing periodical for those of you like Mike who think that I only go to those places. The vice president says the AP is cloistered in a historic hotel in downtown Pittsburgh where she can focus on honing her crisp two-minute answers. Crisp! She doesn't do anything crisp, by the way, per the debate's rules. She's been working with aides since Thursday and chose a venue that allows the Democratic nominee the option of mingling with swing state voters. There you go. Trump publicly dismisses the value of studying for the debate. The former president is choosing instead to fill his days with campaign-related events on the premise that he'll know what he needs to do once he steps on the debate stage. I will say this. I don't think Trump's going to have any problem with commanding of the issues. I will also say that Trump does so many pressers where he takes whatever question happens and responds to things off the cuff that I'm pretty sure he's going to be in good shape. Kamala has no experience of late with handling extemporaneous speaking. I mean, her speaking is teleprompter. Her speaking is edited, pre-recorded interviews. And so I'm thinking that Trump is likely readying himself by being Trump. And I think that's an important piece. He just needs to go in and be Trump. She needs to go in and be something different than she's been, because she's having to change her image. Trump is just being Trump. That's a luxury. The candidate not having to pose because they're not being fake, that's a big deal. In her own preparation, Harris has said the Democratic consultant Philip Reins is a longtime aide to Hillary Clinton as one portraying Trump. She likes to describe Trump as having a playbook of falsehoods to go after Democrats. Okay. So they're basically just they're doing mock debate prep. And listen, I can't fault that. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'd do it too. But the reality is Trump is out there doing Trump stuff, and she's locked up in a hotel room trying to be something that she's not been for quite a while. We'll see how it goes. That's tonight. Coming up next, Todd Stacy gives us his input. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already on Taco Tuesday. So we're going to head forward here. We got coming on the line with us somebody who knows politics, both state and national. So Todd Stacy is he's the grand poobah at Alabama Daily News, but he is prior to that spent a lot of time working in D.C., most notably with Congresswoman Martha Roby. And also, by the way, in the speaker's office down in Montgomery. So, yeah, Todd Stacy's kind of seen a little bit of politics. Let's get his thoughts on what's going on with the debate for tonight. Todd Stacy, how you doing?
I'm great, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for making time. So let me just give you your unvarnished thoughts right out the gate. What do you expect tonight on this much-vaunted debate between Trump and Harris?
Well, I can't say that I know what I expect, because I think this is pretty unpredictable. But I will say that I think it's a very, very important debate. And that's kind of not always the case. you know, presidential debates don't always matter that much, especially when they're, you know, they're usually in October.
Yeah.
And they're pretty late into the season, and most people have their minds made up. I mean, there are a couple of examples, obviously, over the years where they did matter. Earlier this year, we obviously had a debate that mattered very much.
I mean, completely
changed the race. I mean, just think about if that debate had not happened, you know, what would be happening right now? So the way I see it is, you know, the playbook for Trump should be pretty simple. Keep it on the rails. Don't remind people of the bad things about his presidency. Remind people about the good things of his presidency, the economy, tougher on immigration, a more aggressive foreign policy, a safer world. You know, those things alone. Well, I put inflation with the economy. Those were the good things about his presidency that people should be reminded of.
Yeah.
But don't go crazy and remind people of the bad things about your presidency, the weird tweets, the weird statements, the, you know, seemingly out of control. So if he just keeps it on the rails, he's fine. Really, the onus is on Harris. This is her night to make or break her candidacy. The honeymoon is over. I think the polling shows that. She's got to make her case. Why should people actually vote for her? If she spends all night just attacking Trump and trying to, you know, call him a criminal and call him this or that, I really don't think that meets the mark. People are trying to tune in. I'm talking about voters who are undecided.
Yeah.
That are going to tune in to see, is this somebody that I want to see in the Oval Office, that I want to see leading our country for the next 4 years? Can she fill that role? That's really all the pressure is on her, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I said something similar a little while ago. And the truth be told, she has been avoiding the camera, so she almost has to come out and prove that she can do this, because part of the narrative has been against her is you're spending zero time in front of a camera speaking extemporaneously and answering hard questions. And so now here we go. It's not going to be pre-recorded. It's not going to be edited. It's not going to be with a friendly, you know, commentator. It's going to be you on stage with the guy that you've been, you know, decrying now for the last 4 years.
Right. And, you know, even when she did do an interview, she had to bring her VP as you know, a training wheels a little bit. So, yeah. And I think that's what hurts. You know, if you're, you know, the better trained you are in this, look, she went through some debates in 2020 in the Democratic primary for president, but by most accounts did not do well.
No.
And so she's not exactly known as a great debater. One factor I think is positive for Trump going into this is the polling has kind of rebounded for him. It's at least back to a, you know, head-to-head race, a really nose-and-nose race. In fact, plenty of polls show him leading back again. I think that's probably good for his psyche. I think it's pretty clear that he did not handle the switch at the top of the ticket very well, especially when the polls started coming in showing her, you know, with a real nice honeymoon, real big bounce. That kind of, it seemed to kind of get in his head. And he started going off script a lot and really wasn't very well disciplined. Now the polling is caught up. So you would think that maybe he doesn't feel so much that his back is to the wall. Maybe he feels like he's got some wind at his back a little bit and maybe is less, you know, frazzled by that initial polling bump. Maybe that could be a factor in his favor.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point earlier too, that if what I would call policy Trump shows up, I think he does much better than if he, like we had that one debate in the 2020 when he had Joe Biden on stage and just launched on him, and I thought he just lost the race tonight. And that was my perspective as somebody who was supporting him. I felt that way.
That's why they want the open mics.
Exactly.
But, that's why Kamala wants the open mics, because I agree with you, Phil. I think that's exactly when Trump lost that race. If he'd have just let Biden talk, which he couldn't do very well, he'd have been fine. But he kept interrupting him. And of course, Harris wants that exact same thing. So it's interesting that, you know, Trump's team has secured that, you know, rule in place, which really could be a factor tonight.
Well, and apparently that rule was actually predetermined to support Biden, who was trying to avoid having a repeat of 2020's interruptions. And now Harris is stuck with it. And she would have to declare why it's necessary for me to have a different rule than what our side had already negotiated. I look at this too, and I think, you know, there are times when Trump is really funny. I mean, he can be snarky, he can be rude, and that's in some ways that also endears him to some of his base, and I get that. But when he is just like witty but insulting at the same time, it actually works. Like if you remember when he had he could have really just torn a new one for Biden in that June debate. But he kind of let Biden do it to himself, except a couple of times. Like at one point, I remember Trump says, I don't know what you just said, and I'm not sure you know what you just said. That was a great line. You could replay that one on campaign ads over and over again. Of course, now it's not necessary, but that's what's going to happen. If he can be that kind of guy tonight, I think that's his win.
I agree. And the gender difference is really interesting, too. And there was this story we ran from AP the other day about kind of comparing, looking back at the Trump-Clinton debate, and because there's always maybe amongst typical politicians, like a Mike Pence, say, that look, you're debating a woman, you're going to be on your most gentlemanly behavior. That's just sort of what comes natural to a lot of us, right? But Trump is not that kind of candidate.
Yeah.
If you think about it, he took it right to Hillary Clinton.
Yes, he did.
And was not shy about, you know, really roughing her up in the figurative sense. And if you remember, one of the great lines from that debate was to your point about being a little rude, but, you know, tongue in cheek. You know, she makes this comment about, well, you know, it's just great that somebody like you is not in charge of law enforcement in this country. And he comes back immediately and says, because you'd be in jail.
Yeah.
I remember that. Is that rude? Yeah. Is it crude? Yeah. Is it presidential? No. But man, it worked, and it just undercut everything about he was not shy about taking it to her, and I think that rallied a lot of people to his base. I'm not saying he should go out there and act like an ass tonight, but I don't think he's going to shy away from, you know, taking the fight to her when it matters, you know, on things like the border, on things like her previously liberal record, and especially the Biden economy. I think that's the if he does anything to attack her tonight, to land anything, it's got to be on the economy.
Yeah, I agree. I think the economy and the southern border are the two things that he can hammer over and over again, because if he can tie her. I mean, what's amazing to me is they are trying to pretend that she's not been in office for the last 3.5 years. And that's almost, it's insulting to get down to it, but it's galling. But if he can continually point out that she's talking about what she'll do on day one while she's still in office now, I think it really kind of almost lampoons her and then puts her in the position of having to defend where they've been. And I think that's an important piece. Hey, I got to say this too, about 2016 with Hillary, the debate. One thing that I remember that just, you could see it got all in Hillary's head, was Trump did not stand at his podium. He walked around behind her, and she didn't know what was happening. You could see her almost wanting to look over her shoulder, but she knew she shouldn't. But it was distracting her like nobody's business. And so it was just funny to me that Trump was a pacer, but that had her all off her game. It was amusing to watch.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, if you look back at the times that Trump has won debates, or at least just kind of come out on top one way or the other, sometimes it's not necessarily his performance. It's how his opponents react to him. I mean, I'm going back to 2015, 2016, and those Republican primary debates that were, for a lot of us who were supporting other candidates, just infuriating, because you can try to prepare for a debate in the traditional sense, and he just comes in like a wrecking ball and busts it all up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you think about a Marco Rubio, or you think about a Jeb Bush, or you know, so many candidates just crashed against him. You know, it wasn't necessarily that he did so well. It's that their reaction to him revealed something about themselves that was, you know, not appealing to voters. Yeah. And I think you say the same about Hillary Clinton. And again, going back to 2020, he did not allow Biden to do those reactions that would have had the same effect. So if he keeps it on the rails tonight, I think this could be a turning point for the campaign. But again, It's all about Kamala Harris. If she comes out, acts, and can keep it together, can seem cogent, can seem, you know, like a strong leader, you know, capable leader, can string some sentences together, I think that would really help her chances, especially, you know, she only needs a few states. If she can win Georgia and North Carolina, she's probably taking this thing.
Well, yeah, and then Pennsylvania is also the big wild card. I think they're running close up there, too. The hey, let me ask you this, with about a minute to go. Is her tendency to have these word salads, these kind of ridiculous phraseologies, is it a nervous reaction or is it a lack of preparation reaction? I'm wondering.
I think it's both. I mean, she's pretty well documented in, you know, she doesn't like staff time. She doesn't like to read her briefing books.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of stories out there about that
yeah.
in the last 4 years. So, yeah, preparation has got to be that. But, yeah, look, you can't just crash study for a debate. You know, you've got to have some thoughts of your own, some basic world views of your own. I think that's what her problem is sometimes, is she doesn't come from a specific world view or ideology where you kind of believe basic things. She's kind of been a chameleon. And so I think that, you know, it's hard to just put 2 minutes of words into your mouth without coughing up some kind of phrase because you really don't understand it.
That's a great point. All right, we got to leave it there, man. Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. If folks want to find you or read your news sites, what can they go to?
It's easy. It's just aldailynews.com. And also watch Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television, Friday nights at 7:30 and Sundays at noon.
And I forgot to mention that earlier, so thank you for bringing that in. All right, man. Appreciate you, man. Have a great day.
You bet.
All right. Big Rig, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now, and we'll wind up taking some text messages when we get back and then switching gears to Immigration Nation Part 2. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back.